Hi, thanks for listening. This is the It's a Witch's Flutter podcast. My name is Hilla Korn, and each episode we get a chance to speak with another amazing member of the Flutter community. This episode, we're extremely lucky to be speaking with Raph. Welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for being on the podcast. To start, can you share a bit about yourself?
Hi, my name is Raph Goody. I'm co-founder and CTO of a company called TigerEye. This is actually my second company. My first company was named PlanGrid. We were in the construction space and had a lucky exit to Autodesk. So for this company, we're out of the construction space. We focus on, you know, basically doing AI quick answers for businesses, sales and marketing. We're, you know, an AI company like many companies are, and we based almost our entire technology stack off of Flutter. And I'm really excited to talk more about it.
That's awesome. And how did you first hear about Flutter?
Oh, I was really lucky on this. So with my first company, PlanGrid, we had a pretty large engineering team by the time we were acquired. We were maybe about 250 people in engineering. And we supported every platform natively, because that was, you know, what you got to do to make the performance good. And our product was quite fast. So we had a native iOS app. We had a native Android app. We had a native Windows app. We had a web app. And then we had a backend that pretty much, you know, had to duplicate some of the code as well, because we generated PDFs and, you know, kind of used the backend to generate the same visuals you saw on the front end. So really, for every feature we added, it was like divide by four. And it was really frustrating as we scaled, because then you end up with these problems where it's like, okay, I guess the iOS users get the good feature. But then at the same time, like the superintendent on job site, probably the most important person that we could be trying to build product for, might be using Android. And so that would really be frustrating for us from a user and a sales perspective. We had to build this giant matrix of like, we call it the platform parity matrix. And what this did was it had like, out of all the features in our system, maybe 300, 400, 500 features, divided up into tabs, what platform supported which, so that the salespeople, the customer success people could figure it all out. And we thought, okay, what if we just make all the platforms do the same thing? But it was like years of engineering effort to do that. It just wasn't worth the time. And not only that, this led to like a bunch of cultural issues too, where you had like the iOS team developing their own internal iOS best practices, the Android team developing their best practices, some internal competition that I don't think was very helpful in general for our business. And so when we started another company, before we started a company, I just wanted to solve this. That's like all I wanted to solve is I just don't want to ever deal with cross-platform issues again. And another bit about me is I've done a lot of work in web, and I'm not a fan of the web technologies that take this on. I think they're slow. I think the web is built for documents. I don't think it's built for apps. I like some of the architecture of React and Redux, but in general, I'm not a fan of the Electron builds. I think they use too much memory. I think they feel like web apps. I couldn't really find anything that worked right. And so I started actually trying to build it myself. And it was pretty funny, like about 6 months I spent, and I realized that video games had solved this already. Like Diablo 3 had the same scroll bars on every system and they look great. And so I was like, okay, video games figured this out. So I'll try to use Unity to do it. And that really was a pain, because Unity is probably great for video games, but I mean, not meant to do GUIs with. So then I thought, okay, let's just start writing the GUI directly off the frame buffer, and I'll just reproduce the widgets and write them right to OpenGL. And as I was doing this, I was doing some research on it. And one of my previous jobs, I used to work for Sony, and I saw that someone I had worked with had posted a white paper about how Sony was working with one of the car companies to develop an interface for cars that was universal, and it was based on this technology called Flutter. And that was the first time I've heard about it. They had a white paper on it. It was a really compelling white paper. It was very low level, not using any of the material widgets. Like, they built their own widgets like from the ground up for this. It was written right in the frame buffer. And then I started looking into Flutter, and I just felt so relieved that I didn't have to spend my time writing this OpenGL frame buffer general widget solution, and that, you know, Flutter was already there doing what I had wanted. And it really delivered for me.
You're the CEO of the company, is that correct? You're also a developer and writing the Flutter code yourself?
Yeah, CTO, and we have an engineering team of about, with TigerEye, we've got about maybe 20 people in engineering. I wrote all the initial architecture and like kind of picked a lot of our technology choices, but we've actually moved. I mean, we have really good Flutter developers now, both on front end and you know, however you say this, front end, back end, you know, people that do more of the systems level of the front end. So we probably, out of the 20 people we have on our team, like maybe 12 of them write Flutter.
Wow. I'd be curious to learn about how the app is structured and how you manage the group of developers.
Oh, this is great. We've gone through a few structures. I'm really into this. I initially started, I really wanted to keep division of concerns between the front end, the UI design library. Like, I really like design. I think design is really fun. So I kept the design library completely independent from the app. So the app would have to pull in the design library, and the app would also pull in a core library written 100% in Dart so that it was portable and we could use it on the back end eventually. This worked great. I kept them initially in separate repos, but I got to tell you, keeping separate repos was just a real pain in the butt. So we moved it all into a mono repo, and it's been great ever since. They're three independent packages, so they're still package related. They don't, you know, share code between them. They share code properly as a, you know, a package, but they are in a mono repo together, which makes code reviews a lot easier. And we've got a design system that has no business logic, no state management. It's just a widget, how it looks. Also, we do some shaders and other types of graphical effects. All that stuff's in the design library. Then we've got a core library, which is written 100% in Dart, which does all of our SQL and database operations. We're actually, just a quick plug, we have a DuckDB Dart wrapper that we've written in open source. You can find it on our GitHub. And we use DuckDB extensively for being able to do high performance database operations on the front end itself. Our customers, you know, they have millions and millions of data records changing every day, sometimes every 15 minutes. And to be able to keep up with that type of data load, DuckDB is just really good at this. For those of you that have used SQLite in the past, DuckDB is a much stronger on the analysis than SQLite, but you do pay some penalties in writing. They're making it better, but the database is a little bit more meant to be reading millions of rows, doing analysis on millions of rows, not necessarily writing millions of rows. And then finally, we have the app that brings it all together. So the app should have no business logic in it. It's where all the state is. It's where all the navigation is. It should never define a color or pick a font. It should never have SQL statements in it. All the SQL statements are in the core. And so we use these three different packages to kind of split up our developers. And generally, everyone writes in every package because when you're writing a new feature, it takes a little bit of work from everything. But this helps us bring in really junior developers that are still learning. So we can keep them more in the design library side, you know, without worrying about them accidentally having unintended consequences. We also, you know, we're really strong into both unit and integration testing and smoke testing. And we keep everything, we use GitLab for ourselves. It's a good environment. I'm not a big fan of Microsoft, even though we all switched to VS Code eventually. I think it's pretty similar to GitHub, not really that many differences.
That's fascinating. And I raised a lot of other questions I'm curious about. So first off, are you using third-party state management packages to help orchestrate how things work, like RiverPod, Provider, Block, or is it all just custom code?
We use RiverPod and Provider. I really like Provider. I think Provider is simple, sweet, works really clearly. We're not the biggest fan of RiverPods in general. I don't think there's anything better. I mean, I know there's Block, but they have, you know, I've talked to their teams before. I think they're good guys. They're smart, but they're trying to sell their own services. You know, that's a consulting organization. And, you know, they've got a very opinionated way of doing it. They really want you to be in the Block universe. And I just felt like being in the Flutter universe more than that one. RiverPods, the gnarly thing is eventually you end up with just a lot of spaghetti messages flying around as much as you try to avoid it. We're in the middle of trying to refactor some of these out, but you know, we're always kind of dealing with something shooting off the wrong message at the wrong time, or how you structure the different providers. And, you know, we have to kind of add architecture on top of RiverPods to make it kind of make sense. It's not, I'd say, where Flutter's the strongest right now. I think the general state system is really strong. I love how simple it is. I love the unidirectional data flow of just the widgets themselves. I love the distinction between stateful and stateless widgets. I think all this is great. But, you know, the solution that's available to us that's the most popular, RiverPods, it gets into a hairball really quickly. And even with a group, you know, all of our developers, because we had had a lot of years working with people at my last company, PlaneGrid, we were able to hire the best of the best from that team. I mean, these folks are really talented. Like, we have maybe 10 principal level engineers from an IPO company. working at our team. And just a quick plug, we are hiring. So we do look for Flutter developers. But what I'm trying to get to is that these things are still gnarly. These problems exist even for us as very experienced engineers. We thought about writing it ourselves, but that's a pain. We hear that, you know, we've been told that Google has a state management solution they use internally that's quite good. They just haven't released it. So, you know, we can always try to complain to Google about this. In general, though, for writing smaller applications, like the provider framework, I found to be really, really good and powerful and simple and easy to use. And, you know, RumorPods is, it's solid, you know, it's nothing. It's just more easy to walk yourself into a hole with RumorPods more so than maybe some of the other libraries, you know, maybe some of the other systems out there like React Redux, which I think maybe has a slightly stronger state management flow built in.
And then did I understand correctly that are you using Dart on the back end as well?
Yeah, man. Our product's a powerful product, to say in the least. One of the things it does is it can simulate an entire business. We use the simulator. It's using a technology called discrete event simulation theory, which I used to work on. My first job out of school, I'm a mathematician. First job was at Johns Hopkins working on simulation theory. And so we actually have a few doctorate level people on our team that work on the simulator. We wrote the simulator totally in Dart. The reason we can do this is like for a lot of our customers, they have challenges. Like everyone's got a forecast from a sales company. You know, every company has had to deal with this. They have an idea of where they're going to hit their number. But then if you need to follow up with more questions, like, oh, what's my East Coast versus my West Coast going to do? Or what about, you know, my education department? How are they going to land? These questions become quite difficult to answer, especially if you start trying to make adjustments, which with generative AI is quite easy to ask, right? Like, what if I add 5 people to West Coast? Like, what happens? What's my forecast if I do that? The technology to solve this, in my mind, is, you know, the strongest one is simulation theory. And we wrote our simulator to make it portable because we want to run it on the front end once or twice to get a preview, but we want to run it on the back end, you know, 1,000, 10,000 times to do Monte Carlo-based simulation theory. That is why we wrote it in Dart initially. And it's quite good at it. We also, we do share some other stateful code between the front and the back end. The rest of our back end is written in Go for the kind of general, you know, API, the basic REST API is all in Go. We like Go. It's a, you know, we didn't mean to be a Google shop in this way, but it just happened that, you know, we liked Go, we liked Flutter. You know, I met Rob Pike a few times when I was working at Pixar, and I really think Go is written in a way that's like, as a systems language, very powerful. And then we didn't really have a choice but to also involve Python. You know, we're an AI company. If you try to do AI without Python, you can do it. It's just, it seems like you just end up implementing a lot of stuff on your own. So our backend's predominantly Go, then Dart, and then Python just for the AI stuff.
Nice. Is there any advice you give someone just starting out?
Oh, man. Well, I love Flutter. I mean, I think Flutter is the way to go. I think, you know, I will say Flutter Web is still something that we're working on. We have a really good build going, but we haven't released it to our customers yet. So I think they're getting better and better with web, and especially for simple applications, it's there. And I like the general tech, like WebAssembly, drawing to the frame buffer with WebAssembly is like a good approach. I think that's the way. But it's not quite as trivial as it was to do the Windows, Mac, and iOS, Android applications. So, you know, take a note there. On the back end, I don't remember the stats here. I think Dart actually might be a more popular, I mean, obviously Flutter's built on Dart, but Dart's probably more popular than Flutter itself because of Dart Web and the fact that Google Analytics and a lot of their stuff is written in Dart directly. I think Dart's got a lot of legs on it. It's quite a strong language. It's very similar to Kotlin or Swift. It offers a lot of the same conveniences. It compiles very fast into native code. It's very portable. I mean, I'm into this kind of stuff. I think at worst, you could, if you're a founder and you're trying to solve some of these problems, you might not want to dork around the technology too much. But if you're into that, type of thing, I think writing a good portion of your backend in Dart makes a lot of sense, especially if you've got your front end already in Flutter and there's an opportunity to share code. I think it's quite fun. You just got to always be careful about when it gets like too much fun on the technical side. And, you know, you've got to deliver value to the customers too. So it's always a balance between the two. That's the reason we didn't write our AI stuff in Go, for instance. We really thought about it. I really tried, but Go just doesn't have the same strength in the AI community as Python does. So I was trying to avoid Python so hard. I've been a Python developer for a long time. I manage at PlanGrid. It was an entirely Python backend. And at scale, it's just, the code just looks so bad. I mean, I'm sure there's ways to improve it. I'm sure we could have done better to lead our team to write better code, but it's just, Python wasn't really meant for that type of backend systems code, and Go was.
I like it. They're both great languages. Is there anything else you'd like to add or promote?
Oh, you know, I mean, obviously, open source is really, really powerful. There's a lot of great packages in Flutter. I love that it's open source as well. As I mentioned before, we've got our own open source library for DuckDB. So if you're interested in doing high performance database operations in Dart, either on the back end or the front end, I definitely check out our open source library. We're always interested in open sourcing more things. So I always tell people when I'm on these podcasts, like, you know, I'm Ralph at TigerEye.com. If you have interest in either mapping technology or graphing technology, we used FL charts for a while and ended up having to write our own because FL charts had, you know, it was a good library, just had a few, couldn't really get to the Excel level of charting. I haven't open sourced it yet. I'm always curious what kind of interest there is in this. So I always ask the community just to reach out to me. If you're interested in some mapping code, it's really nice to see that Mapbox now has a Flutter library. So that's cool. Another part of TigerEye is we do territory management for sales teams. Territories don't have to be geographically located, but they often are. And so having a powerful mapping tool is really key to us. At the time, 2 years ago, there was nothing available for maps besides for Sync Fusion in Flutter. Google didn't even have their Flutter API with maps for desktop. Might have been for mobile only. Now I think there's a lot more options. So, you know, maybe it's not as interesting to folks, but wherever people are interested as open source libraries, I've gotten some interest in the design library we wrote. We wrote on the design library without material. It still is interesting to me. If there's other open source projects that you're using in Flutter, it's always cool to hear about that. And otherwise, I always like knowing what people want to see open sourced.
Amazing. I think there's obviously a lot of value that you're solving these problems at scale. Other developers can learn lessons from what you're building and kind of save themselves some pain and headache, particularly with things like design languages. There's a lot of pushback to apps looking too material, too plain, where it's nice to give the app a custom look and feel. It makes it stand out.
Yeah. And also material. I mean, I don't know. I'm getting kind of in the weeds here. I feel like material is pretty bloated. Like everything has like an inkwell around it. You know, it's got all those like animation effects unnecessarily. The only bummer is that text editing is very tightly tied to material. So trying to pull yourself out of material with text editing, they're trying to make it better, but it's not the most fun experience.
Thank you very much for being on the podcast. It was fascinating to hear your journey. We'll include links in the show notes for everything discussed, links to the GitHub repo. And I think we also talked about DuckDB, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
The database, which sounds really interesting as well. Very nice to meet you. Thanks for listening.
Great to meet you too. Thank you for your time.